Mini episode 273 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Rick Morris and Russ Cullen coming at you here. We've got for you the FDH Top 30 NHL rankings for the summer of 2013. Let me give a quick setup here as to what this is about. In our guide that we have that comes out every summer for the NHL entry draft, Pro Hockey Draftology 2013 in this case, we always have our top 30 list in there, and I have Russ do an analysis of it. We're spreading that to the show this year, and actually we do breakdowns of these in all four major sports, and we've already done our baseball segment. Steve Callis gave a somewhat approving, somewhat disapproving once over to my MLB list. I'm going to be doing the NBA one shortly with Ben Chu. But looking at the hockey one here, first let's look at the guys that were off the top 30 from last year. A lot of guys dropping off of this. Jonathan Quick, 8th last year. Jason Spezza, 12th. Tim Thomas, 15th. Mike Smith, 16th. Pekka Rinne, 17th. Marian Gaborik, 19th. Ilya Kovalchuk, 21st. Marian Hossa, 22nd. Shea Weber, 23rd. Alex Pietrangelo, 24th. Ryan Kessler, 28th. And a tie for 30th. This was not a gimmick, but I just couldn't find much to separate them. Brian Elliott and Yaroslav Halak. So all of those guys are dropping off of the list this year. Mm-hmm. It is, again, very, very hard to penetrate this list. Anybody off there that looks like an obvious oversight to you?
No, I think one that could really rebound maybe would be Ryan Kessler, but other than that, no. I mean, I felt like I could understand why that happened to the rest of those players. I mean, could I have missed one? Did you say it maybe faster? Maybe, but on the level, it seemed pretty right. Other than Kessler, who didn't rip it up when he came back this year, but I'm expecting good things from him next year.
Well, and it's kind of funny that, you mentioned him because you're taking a look at this, starting with the third tier, 28, 29, 30. Two of his teammates are on there, and they're well down from last year. Henrik Sedin, 28th. He was 9th last year. Zdeno Chara, 29th. He was 10th last year. Daniel Sedin, 30th. He was 11th last year. So your thoughts on the Sedins and Chara making up the third tier?
Well, I think just being in there is good enough. I think it does get awfully nitpicky when you're getting into the top 30 in the NHL. It's pretty rarefied air. So guys' careers fluctuate. Guys have years that fluctuate. This was a weird year. We're all going to admit that it was a bit of a fluky season. We are getting the cream of the crop now, but you could see where there were some things that happened in the regular season, in the playoffs, that might not have normally happened. But, again, this was a weird year. So I think that's where you see this fluctuation, too, in the top 30.
Absolutely. When you get into the second tier, there's a lot of guys that really kind of emerged, stepped up this year. In the case of two guys here who weren't on the list last year who rebounded. But the second tier, starting at 18, you start with a guy who emerged, although he had a tough playoff. Corey Schneider, 18th. He was not on the list last year. In terms of a rebound, Ryan Getzlaf, 19th, also not on the list last year. And you could say, I think, the same thing for Eric Staal, 20th, off the list last year. 21st, an emergence one. This one may raise some eyebrows here, but Craig Anderson, just based on what a dominant season he had, cracking the list at 21st, and again, he wasn't on it last year. 22nd, you talk about taking a step up, one of these great young players, Taylor Hall, making the list for the first time. Phil Kessel, also making the list for the first time at 23. Anze Kopitar, 24. He was 27 last year. I thought he was more or less right about where he was. Nicholas Backstrom, 25. He was 20th last year. Jacob Voracek, 26th, off the list last year. And then 27th, James Neal, 14th last year.
Yeah, I don't really have a problem with any of those. I will say, though, that Eric Staal being off, that could be an oversight. He was more than a point a game this year. So I have a hard time thinking he wouldn't make it, but it is an awfully competitive list. I mean, a guy like Voracek, you know, had a career year. He did things that I sort of was expecting him to do pretty close after the draft, like maybe 4 or 5 years after the draft. Took him a little longer. I'm looking up his points now. He was right at a, you know, just under a point a game, 46 and 48. So he was 46 and 48, and Staal was 53 and 48. So are we splitting hairs? Yeah, we could be. We could be.
Staal, again, a year ago at this time, I wasn't as impressed with him. That's why he didn't make the list then. But for him to rebound and make it a 20th this year, I was really impressed with how he stepped up. The top tier, this is
longer. Staal is in the 20? Or I thought he was
I have him at 20. He was off the list last year.
I misunderstood. Oh, okay. I thought you said he was off this year.
Yeah, I have him bouncing
back.
Makes
sense.
Bouncing back onto the list, yeah. So you and I,
okay,
that doesn't surprise
sense.
Me. You and I are in concurrence on that, yeah. So I thought he was a bounce back kind of similar to Getzlaf at 19, as opposed to guys who are making this list for the first time. The top tier, this is a little bit wider than we've had it maybe some years in the past, but I think this is what makes it very interesting. And the names at the top are kind of predictable, if not the order necessarily, but as you start stretching into the teens, I think that's where it really gets interesting. I'll count these ones up to number one this time. At 17, Jimmy Howard, I had him 25th a year ago, and definitely gave him a bump because of the playoffs. I initially had him in the 20s, but the way that he stood on his head and carried my Red Wings, I thought merited that. Maybe a little bit of the same at 16, Henrik Zetterberg. I got him right in there. He was off the list last year. 15th, talk about emergence of a great young defenseman, P.K. Subban. He was not on the list last year.
He's winning the Norris Trophy, so yeah.
Yeah, that really says a lot about him right there. Chris Kunitz, 14th. He was off the list a year ago. Chris Letang, 13th. I had him 13th a year ago on the list. In 12th place, down from 5th last year, Claude Giroux, a little bit of a give back this year in terms of his play.
Yeah.
But
Giroux was still solid, though, Yeah,
I don't expect that to be a long-term thing. Guy that made a big jump up here, 29th a year ago, 11th right now, Martin St. Louis.
He had an amazing year.
And if you're going back to, like, the start of the millennium, I don't know if there's, you know, two or even three forwards who have played better than he has. 10th place, down from 7th a year ago, Erik Karlsson, bouncing back very strong in the playoffs after a superhuman recovery.
Same season Achilles recovery is unheard of.
Yeah, he took a skate to it, partially severed because of a skate.
And it wasn't fully severed, but they said 75%. But still, I mean, come on.
Yeah, well, that's 75% more than I would want, that's for sure.
Yeah, and let's get back to St. Louis for just a minute, because this is a guy that couldn't even make it into the league for a while. And then when things changed, he was able to make it into the league. He had 60 points in 48 games. I mean, it's incredible production, yet he was still hitting people. He was still blocking shots. He was winning faceoffs. He had two game-winning goals. Like, he had 17 power play assists in 48 games. That's a hell of a lot. Now, I understand he has Steve Stamkos on that power play, but you can make the argument he's making Stamkos better too.
I think so, and when you look at his prior track record as well in Tampa Bay, I think he's one of these guys who, again, a lock first ballot Hall of Famer.
I think he is now, I do too.
There may always be a gulf between how great his career was and how much people realize that it was great. I just get that sense with him that the people realize what an all-time great this guy has been, particularly you know, how much of it was in an era of clamp down defense and clutching and grabbing and, you know, he's been so great for so long.
I agree with you. I think that he might be taken for granted a little too much. He's got 912 points in 979 games, so I don't know if he'll be a first ballot guy, because I know they like the point of game guys. He's not going to get 500 goals. He's got 340. Still a real respectable number. It's not like I'm you know, saying that it's bad. And we know what he's done playoff-wise and everything else. So I feel pretty confident he's going to make it. I don't know if it'll be first ballot, though.
Interesting. And if it's not first ballot, that might just reinforce my point all the more so. Again, at the pace he's going, he's going to chalk up some more goals as well. But
let's see, he's a 75, so that would make him 35.
He's up
like
there.
39 or something?
38 at some point.
So, what's he going to get? Let's give him two more years, 20 goals each. So that's 40 more goals, so that's 380. I can't see him doing any more than that. He only had 17. Well, he had 17 in 48 games. So I shouldn't say only 17. So we'll give him the 400 goals, another 60.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a reasonable thing, because 2 years maybe of like at the same level, and then, you know, if he's content to kind of, you know, hang on in a somewhat lesser role, you know, look at it at a slower pace than that. He's a guy that really loves the game a lot. In ninth position on the list, I believe this is the first time he's – actually, no, I think he was on the list 2 years ago. He was off the list last year, Patrick Kane, rebounding from a
big
year ago.
Big rebound year for him, yeah.
Really, really, really huge. Yeah, that was tremendous on his part. Eighth place, up from 18th a year ago, Pavel Datsyuk, you said when we were doing the playoff breakdown, might have been the best player in the playoffs through the first two rounds this year, Russ.
Yep. Yeah, no question. I mean, if I look up Pavel Datsyuk's numbers, which I am doing now, I'm trying to find his playoff numbers. Let's see. Regular season, 49 points, so he was more than a point a game regular season. His usual plus 21. I mean, it doesn't matter who's on that team, he's always going to be a plus. He 8 power play goals, 6 game winners. I mean, 6 game winners is pretty impressive. It looks to me like he had 9 playoff points, but he might have had more. I'm trying to get that. So I don't know what this guy doesn't do. We know he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. There's little guessing about that, and I will go one step further. Playoff-wise, he had 9 points in 14 games. I will go one step further and tell you, and again, he's not even a point a game, but because of his defensive prowess, it doesn't matter. He's close enough, 767 in 779 games. I mean, he hasn't even played that many games, if you think about it, because of, you know, because by the time he broke into the league, he was a little bit of an older guy.
He's a Selke winner. Oh, yeah, he's been a Selke winner. That backs up what you said about his defense.
1, 2, 3 Selkies. 1, 2, 3, 4 Lady Bings. He might win another Bing this year. So I will go out on the limb and say he is the greatest Russian hockey player ever. I don't have a problem doing that all around. Now, Pavel Bure was the greatest scoring Russian hockey player ever, but your best all-around Russian hockey player, that's the guy.
Wow. I hadn't really thought of it that way, but off the top of my head, it sounds like you're probably right. And in terms of playoffs, he has come a long way since I, in my bitterness around the middle of last decade, would take to calling him Pavel the Friendly Ghost every spring, because that was not a strong part of his game for a couple of years there. But
he's starting to rack it up. I mean, he's got 103 points in 140 games, and if you look at his last 4 or 5 series, it's gotten a lot better.
Absolutely. Seventh position on the list, Jonathan Toews. He was 26th the year ago. A bounce back, I think, much like we saw from Kane.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a change in the entire team, so that certainly was going to change him. It's not like his last year was bad, 57 points in 59 games, because he had a little bit of injury. That's not a bad year, 29 goals. This year, 48 points in 47 games, 23 goals, 9 points in the playoffs. The thing about Toews, and I've covered him for a long time as well through World Juniors, and I've seen him in a lot of different – I've pretty much watched him grow up. He is a guy who I always felt had a high ceiling, and I think he's going beyond what I thought he would do. Like right now, he's at 372 points in 408 games, and I could envision another 7, 8, 10 years. He's only 25. So you figure probably another 10 years, maybe even more. But we'll go 10 conservatively. If he goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So he's had 7 years. If we give him another 7 years, you know, he's going to be at the 800-point mark if he keeps up this same pace, which he's been pretty rock solid with. And actually, this year's 23 goals in 47 games would have been more like 45 goals in a regular season. So his goals were way up. He's only got 167 goals so far career. So I don't know if he'll get 500, but I think he's another guy that'll go in that 350, 400 range. So, you know, we are looking. I wrote something the other day for teams that why aren't there dynasties? Why is it hard? And we know because of the salary cap and everything else. And I think we're looking at teams now that if they're great teams like the Penguins, like the Red Wings, like the Hawks, and like the Bruins, you're looking at 2 to 3 Hall of Famers on those teams.
Right.
When you went back and you looked at the Islanders, I think it was the Islanders, I counted 5, and the Oilers had 6.
Right.
You're not going to have that anymore. It's just not
possible. That's amazing. That's amazing.
It's just not possible.
In our about two minutes remaining here, I'm going to go 6 through 1 and get your thoughts.
Yeah.
Your boy, Henrik Lundqvist, 6th place. John Tavares, not on the list a year ago, but 5th this time around. Evgeny Malkin, 4th. Alex Ovechkin, 3rd. Steven Stamkos, 2nd. And proving, based on how I feel about him personally, that I am objective, Sidney Crosby repeating in the number one spot. This is where it really gets tough to sorting out the best of the best here in the 1 through 6, Russ.
It does. If you ever want to say Crosby stinks or Crosby sucks or whatever, he had a bad last round of the playoffs, conference finals. He's still more than a point a game for these playoffs. He's still 15 points in 14 games. I mean, we're looking at a generational player here. He's got 665 points in 470 games. I feel like if his career were cut short by injury, he's still a Hall of Famer right now.
Sure.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't know what else he needs to accomplish because the Hall of Fame isn't just the NHL anyhow, so he's got a gold medal. I think he has a Memorial Cup win. He's got Stanley Cup wins. There's really nothing he hasn't done. And this year, he only played 36 games, but had 56 points.
That's true. So you agree with him 1 over Stamkos 2? Okay.
I do. And Stamkos, can we even say he slipped a little? I mean, his team wasn't very good. His team certainly could have been better. He had 57 points, but he had 29 goals. That 29 goals in 48 games wouldn't have been 60, but it would have been probably 50. I mean, he is the best goal scorer in the league. So I think it's good. I think what you did with Lundqvist was right because I think at the end of the day, he certainly has proved that maybe his regular season numbers won't get him a Vezina. I think Bob is going to get that, Sergei Bobrovsky. But I think he'll be 2nd. But he's right there. So I think and going into next year, it's fair to say Lundqvist has been playing like a Vezina candidate every year for the last 3 or 4. So I like it. I mean, I do like the list.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.